Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, with me Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, hey, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blog do pop on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so we did have a new one pop up over there this morning. If you didn't swing by and check it out, you should definitely do that. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, hey, Dan and I greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is, that's right, at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time. Dan the Man is at All right, Dan, I realize, you know, there's a lot going on, but the most important story of the day by far, no doubt, that we shouldn't even talk about anything else, the Mariners re-sign Ichiro so he can play in the Japanese series, right? Huge story?
Oh, yeah. So they only get that one game?
Two. There's two games over there. My guess is they'll play in those two games, and then they'll probably do what they did to him last year and kick him upstairs. He signed a minor league deal that would pay him $750,000 if he played the entire season. I'm sure that's prorated for a couple games that he'll probably play. It would be great if they would allow him to hang around and actually play through the season, but you know, that's not the direction they're going as a team. So it really, you know, as much as I hate to say it and I would love to see him play, it makes no sense for them to do that. So, you know, I just got to kind of eat it and live with it.
I mean, I don't understand how that works. Isn't he still under some kind of contract or getting paid for them or something?
Well, you know, I think last year was the final year of that deal he had with them. So when, you know, when that expired, it was just kind of like, okay, well, you know, let's kick him upstairs so he's still part of the organization. So technically he was a free agent, I guess, you know, at 45, they're just not a lot of interest.
I mean, I don't know why not. What are the Rays doing? What are the Marlins doing?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I guess I do wonder in a way with, you know, how bad could it actually be with, you know, some of these teams out there. You can't tell me he couldn't be a fourth outfielder on a contender somewhere. You know, I mean, I find that very, very hard to believe that he couldn't add something, you know, to one of these teams. But yeah, I guess apparently, you know, there was zero interest, and you know, we'll see what happens after these two games and what they decide to do with them. But I figure he's going to get his 8 at bats, and you know, that's going to be it. You know, I honestly won't be surprised if he does return to Japan after this and play there for a few more years.
Return, what if he just stays?
Well, that could also be possible. Yeah, could you imagine that if they went over there and he just didn't come back? You know, they so you know, that could be fun, but you know, we'll see what goes on with them. I mean, I think it would be great if he went up and got, you know, 4 or 5 hits in those 8 at bats, and you know, then I guess we could really ask, you know, some questions, because it would be like, hey, wait a minute, you know, this guy's actually producing, and you know, what's going on here? So.
Yeah, not to say that this would happen, but the opposing pitchers, do you think they'd go light on him?
You know, that's always a possibility. You know, they are playing the A's. I don't know who's going to end up, you know, being the A's start. You know, the starters in that series. You know, they're just so we're so far away from that. So, but yeah, you know, that's always a possibility, especially if you know, like a game is a blowout. You know, there's you know there might be a guy who just kind of hey, you know, I'm gonna throw him fastballs and see what he can do.
Yeah, I mean, it would be really cool if he was able to get 11 hits and he could round it out to 3,100 career MLB hits.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah, it could be, you know, like I said, you know, it'll be fun for me, you know, pretty much either way they actually, you know, actually work it out. But we'll, you know, we'll see what ends up happening with him and, you know, if he just kind of – you know, could kind of stumble into a chance to play a little more regularly with, you know, something. That I think that would be fantastic for me. But like I said, I don't, you know, I don't see that. Sadly, I don't see that happening. But, you know, who knows? Weird things happen, and maybe I will, you know, maybe I'll get my wish and he'll get one more, you know, one more season of maybe, you know, 100 games for somebody filling in. You know, that's all it takes to really kind of make me happy, right? So.
Oh, yeah, you have to stay up late.
Yeah, you know, that's, you know, the one drawback, yeah, I would have to stay up, but, you know, that would be worth it. So, you know, I wouldn't have too big of a problem with that. I just have to, you know, have to suck it up. But we did have a... another signing, interestingly, the Giants go out and add a starting pitcher. I don't know if you caught this one, Dan. Drew Pomeranz for 1 year. They got him on a really good, really good deal. I think I want to double check, but I think the base salary was, did I see 1.5, and he can make more. You know, he's got incentives built in. Let me double check here. All right. Well, let's see. It says he gets $500,000 if he's on the active roster coming out of camp, and then he also gets $500,000 on the 150th day. In addition to quarter piece, he'll get $250,000 for reaching 25 and 50 innings. So those should be pretty easy to get there. He'll also pick up $125,000 for his second, fourth, sixth, and eighth start, and then $100,000 for his 10th, 14th, 16th, 18th, 20th, 24th, 27th, and 30th. And he'll get a final $200,000 bonus if he makes 32 starts. That's a pretty interesting contract. He'll guaranteed for 1.5. Total value of $5 million if he hits all the bonuses. That's interesting. Really, it seems like Pomeranz is kind of betting on himself that he's going to stay healthy.
Well, yeah. He needs
to. Because yeah,
wants to stick around.
Yep. He's managed to have some injury throughout his career, and last year was one of those years. He did appear in 26 games for the Red Sox, but made just 11 starts. 2-6 with a 6.08 ERA. You know, but the 2 years before that, he made 32 starts in 2017 and 30 in 2016. You know, Dana, you know, he was 17-6 in 2017 with a 3.32 ERA. So, you know, I guess he, you know, he has the potential to bounce back and be that guy. I don't know if he could get the 17 wins with a bad Giants team, but, you know, he could definitely make the starts. Do you see him cashing in on that 32-start bonus?
That I don't see, so I don't think he gets the full five, but I definitely think he's kind of gets some of those incentives.
Yeah, you know, it. You know, I do wonder, you know, just kind of thinking about this in my head, you know, obviously the Giants have Madison Bumgarner. You know, they have Jeff Samardzija. They brought Derek Holland back. And now, you know, they add Pomerantz on a one-year deal. They really didn't leave much room for any of their younger starters to see what they kind of had there. I guess since guys like Pomerantz and Holland are on one-year deals, do you see them more as trade bait? You know, kind of like these rebuilding teams do, where they sign a guy cheap and then try to sell him for literally almost any kind of prospect they can get their hands on?
Yeah, and I think it also depends on where they're at come, you know, July.
Yeah, because, well, you know, I don't think any of us, I mean, you see the Giants contending with what they're looking at. I mean, I did read earlier they're looking for somebody to take that Evan Longoria contract off their hands, but I don't think that one's going to happen. So, I mean, do you see them as contenders?
Not really.
So, yeah, it just kind of, you know, kind of, you know, I mean, obviously it'll be interesting to see what they do with Bumgarner as the year goes along. So, you know, obviously he could be a huge piece because their two best prospects are still in projected to start the year in high class A. So they're a long way away from having anybody who could be productive for them. You know, and then, you know, there's still some questions with good old Buster. I heard somebody, might have been a week ago, maybe a little longer, talking about how he really needs to make the move to first base sooner rather than later. You know, and they were thinking maybe he only catches 100 games this year. I thought that was a pretty low number because, you know, Buster always seems kind of like a gamer. Do you see him catching only 100 games?
No, I still think he goes above that. You know, I mean, will the transition to first base make him a better hitter?
Well, you know, I guess they're kind of thinking it. You know, it allows him to stay healthier. You know, I guess is always the key.
Yeah, I don't buy that anymore. I mean, the collision rule is all but extinct. They're telling me he's going to be healthier because he's not squatting.
Yeah, well, you know, there's still a lot of people who, you know, who buy that when it comes to, you know, comes to these players. You know, they think the wear and tear of catching hurts these guys.
Then why is Yadi so funny?
You know, he's kind of the exception to the rule when it comes to all this, because I don't know why either. I mean, I know he had the, you know, that ridiculous injury last year, but, you know, let's face it, that's because he got, you know, got a really hard foul ball in the Canucks, and that's going to take anybody out. I mean, that's just, you know, kind of a fluky thing there. So, yeah, I've wondered that for quite a while, you know, when they keep talking about this. And, you know, Yadi got better as he got older. Remember when he started, he was really just a defensive guy. You know, it took a long time for his offense to get going.
No, I mean, the only reason you'd really want to pull Harper, I'm just making up names now. Buster from behind the plate is they have a prospect who is, you know, Wilson Contreras.
Yeah, and, you know, oddly, one of their best prospects is a catcher, but like I said, he's in high class A. So he's nowhere close to being ready to take Buster's spot. So, you know, maybe 3 years down the road, this kid is ready. You know, and he can come and, you know, maybe Posey goes to first then, but yeah, that's still a little ways away. So
it's just sometimes they're just kind of talking out of their butt. Because you still have a first baseman on that roster. So it's not like it's the American League where you could just move one of them over to the DH. Does everyone forget about that?
Brandon Belt, he has played the corner outfield spot. So I assume that they think he would just naturally, move out to the outfield. So... Yeah, I don't know.
Well, and going back to Longoria, he's got 4 full years and an option for the 5th year, including this year. So.
Oh. Yeah, you could have just said a lot. a lot. Yeah, the only way they're moving that contract is if they pick up quite a bit of it. Nobody's taking that contract on. I've always been an Evan Longoria fan, but his agent did a nice job of getting him overpaid because he seems to be, while I still think he's a good player, he seems to be on the decline.
Yeah. The only thing the Rays retained was about $2 million.
Yeah.
Or $5 million, I guess.
While we're on baseball, Dan, yesterday you and I got on the Hall of Fame debate. And I heard today they're already talking about next year. It's that time, so they jump ahead to next year. Now, of course, the big name next year, first year on the ballot, Derek Jeter. Now, I honestly thought he would be the first guy to be unanimous. I didn't think Rivera would be, so I was kind of shocked by that. But the more I look at this, Dan, has he pissed off enough Miami or Florida sports writers to the point where they might not vote for him because of the way he's handled the Marlins?
That's exactly what I was going to say, and was wondering if you thought that way too.
Yeah, I do wonder because, we both know, these guys voting are, really good at carrying grudges. So, I wonder if just maybe one of these guys, even though that shouldn't count for him to be a Hall of Famer, obviously, because that's something totally different. I just wonder, if somebody goes, oh, whoops, yeah, I'm not voting for Jeter, sorry.
I mean, do you think he'll get left off of some people's ballots?
I wouldn't be surprised if I see one or two guys leave him off. That wouldn't be a total shock to me. Especially now, if he wasn't the owner, part owner and president or whatever he is down there in Miami and, just ripping that team to shreds, I think he would walk in with 100% because, everybody loved him. Mm-hmm. Every reporter loved Derek Jeter. But now, I do actually have a couple questions. I'm not quite sold now as if he would get a good old 100%. But there are a couple interesting names that they had some debates about today. And surprisingly, the one guy they were very passionate about, and I never thought of this guy as a Hall of Famer, but I'm going to throw the name at you, and tell me what you think just off your opinion of seeing him, and that's Bobby Abreu.
Gee, I don't even remember him.
He played with 5 teams. I believe, let me double check here so I got everything right. He spent most of his time 9 years with the Phillies, 4 with the Angels, 3 with the Yankees, 2 with the Astros, and then he had kind of cups of coffees with the Mets and the Dodgers. They were really pushing him. And this, of course, Dan, I love this. His career WAR is 60. So Brian Kenny was all over him today, but he is a .292 career hitter. He had 288 home runs, 1,363 RBIs, and did steal 400 bases. So, and if you're a sabermetric guy, you're probably jumping up and down thinking he's a Hall of Famer. I don't know if I buy it. He's a two-time All-Star, won a Gold Glove and a Silver Slugger just one time. Postseason. He played in 20 postseason games and did hit .284. So, you know, he was productive in the postseason, but I just don't know if we need to start analytically putting guys in, and you just kind of look at the numbers they have, don't you? I mean, he played in 2,425 games. He had the chance to pull big numbers, and besides the 400 steals, they just didn't really ring up, did they? I mean, 291's a good average. I'll give him that.
Yeah, but he has 8,500 at that.
Yeah, so, you know, I just don't know. I was kind of baffled by it. I was just like, yeah, I don't buy it. But man, they really liked it. So I was a little confused.
If you ranked him, he would be on the very low end. I do remember him. He comes back to me, but, you know, 20 years. I just lost his hit count. Hold on. There we go. 2,400 hits. Stuff with about 1,800 strikeouts. You know, he's definitely a numbers guy for this era of baseball. I guess they'll be starting an analytical league soon.
Yeah, you know, I mean, looking at it, there's 130 home run season. You know, there are some good RBIs, RBI years. You know, 8 years, over 100. He led the league in triples once, doubles once. I just don't know if as a Hall of Fame resume, does it?
Not really. I mean, isn't he up there with Scott Rowland?
Yeah, don't even get me started on that. They were pushing for that on Intentional Talk today, and I was ready to. Actually, I think I did end up changing the channel because it's slowly but surely becoming the Hall of Very Good, and not, you know, elite like it should be. And, you know, that's just, you know, we're just kind of kowtowing to the sabermetric people and the popular guys, and we're not, you know, they're no longer just kind of looking at stats. So,
but the Hall of War.
But there are, there are some, you know, some fun names coming up on the ballot. Now, I don't think any of these guys are Hall of Famers, but Jason Giambi is on next year. Some local guys, Dan, we get Alfonso Soriano, Carlos Pena, Paul Konerko is on the ballot next year. Alex Gonzalez, oh no, that's the other Alex Gonzalez, not the one who had a stop in Chicago. So, there are a couple guys. Oh, and Kyle Farnsworth down here at the bottom. I said, I don't think any of these guys are Hall of Famers, but, you know, they're former Cubs and, you know, former Cubs or former White Sox, so that makes it interesting. But, yeah, you know, kind of going over the ballot, looking at the new guys going on, I mean, I think Jeter is the only sure bet he's going in. I don't see any of these other guys rolling in. So, oh, and Adam Dunn is on the ballot, Dan. He's a Hall of Famer, right? So,
first ballot. I mean, I think Alfonso was definitely on his way, and then he couldn't hit a two-strike slider to save his life or high fastball.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what do you think about Konerko? Is he kind of close to it?
You know, I do wonder, and I'm interested to kind of look at him, you know, like we talked about Abreu. Konerko played a long time. He had 18 years, you know, even though, well, maybe 17 because the 1 year he only played six games. But, yeah, you know, he's a .279 career hitter. 439 home runs, 1,412 RBIs. Obviously, he doesn't have Abreu's stolen base totals, but, you know, he's got 2,340 hits. You know, again, I think he's one of these guys who fits into – he ended up being a very good player, you know, six-time All-Star, did win a World Series, and was the ALCS MVP that year. But I just don't think he's quite there.
Now, I mean, when it comes to All-Star or to Hall of Fame voting, do you put a whole lot of stock in All-Star appearances, seeing as it is a vote?
No, I mean, it's nice if you see a guy who made it double digits, because then, you know, normally those guys are very good players anyways. But, yeah, I mean, you can't really look into that, you know, because, yeah, you're either voted on or you're added on or, you know, I mean, who knows? You could actually have just been the last guy put on because you had to replace an injured guy. So, you know, it is interesting. But, yeah, I mean, you go with Konerko and, you know, he had a couple 40 home run seasons, but he actually never led the league in home runs. You know, he had, what, 600 RBI seasons. Again, 117 being as high, but oddly never managed to lead the league. He finished in the top five of MVP voting once and the top twice. But, yeah, I just don't – you know what I mean? He wasn't going to lead defender, so you can't turn to that and say, oh, yeah, well, he was a great fielder on top of that. Not really Konerko's thing. You know, he was a solid defender, but, you know, nobody was – you know, he didn't obviously didn't win any Gold Gloves. So, yeah, you know, I like him, and he was always a good guy in Chicago. I mean, you know, I just don't think – He's quite there. I mean, do you?
No, I feel like he's below.
Yeah, you know that. You know, because what I keep thinking is, well, you know, Fred McGriff didn't get in, but we're gonna put Konerko in. And you know, I mean, I think McGriff was a better player. So. But, you know, you mentioned actually, I wanted to check one more thing there. Yeah, and just, you know, just because Dan Konerko's war is only 27.7, so I just don't think he can get in with that. Oh, sorry. But, yeah, you mentioned Soriano. He, you know, he's another guy who has an interesting resume. You know, sadly, his last, two seasons really kind of hurt him. Really struggled, maybe his last three or four. He ended up being a 7th career hitter. He hit 412 home runs, 1159 RBI, 259 bases, you know, before his legs really kind of gave out. He did lead the league in runs scored, hits, and stolen bases all in the same year. So, you know, he was there. I mean, obviously, he never won an MVP, but he finished in the top five once and the top 10 twice. So, you know, and then he was on the ballot, what, 5-6 years. Finished third, as you know, in Rookie of the Year voting his rookie year back in 2011. But, yeah, I mean, you know, another guy, I mean, he had that one big year. He hit 46 home runs for Washington before he came to Chicago. He's got some really gigantic home run numbers. You know, I mean, you start going down, it's 39, 39, 38, 36, 44, 33. And then he has some years off before he hit 32 with the Cubs in 2012, and then 34 the year the Cubs shifted to the Yankees. He hit 17 and 18. So, you know, big, big power. But, you know, again, he's another guy that I think, you know, good player, fun to watch, always an adventure in the outfield, you know, not going to get in on his defense. I just don't think he's quite there, do you?
No.
So.
I don't know, do you think if, say, the Cubs actually have postseason run while he was there, it could have could have helped.
Yeah, you know, that seems to really, you know, help a player. And, you know, he did, you know, the Cubs did have six postseason games while he was there. You know, sadly, I think they got swept in both of them, and he hit .143 in one and .071 in the other. His postseason numbers aren't going to help him. In 44 career games, he hit .213. He doesn't pull a home run. And pull the bases, which is why he's .213 average isn't going to help you when they start looking at your postseason. So, but yeah, you know, pitching wise, I don't think any of these guys get there. You know, I mean, I was kind of curious. I know Heath Bell ended up racking up some pretty big save numbers, but I don't know if he quite got there for his career, because I think he was. He didn't start any games. Well, maybe I'm wrong. Yeah, he only had 168 saves, so it wasn't as many as I thought. So yeah.
Hey.
Because it does seem like they're a little more reliever friendly now when it comes to the balloting. But yeah, I don't think 168 saves is going to be enough to get Heath in. He doesn't get 3.49 for his career, so. I don't think that's going to work out.
Well, the one thing when you look at the numbers and the records for pitching, and when it comes to Mariano Rivera, unanimous was kind of a surprise. You know, because like you said, nobody gets it. But I mean, for him to not be in the Hall of Fame, especially on the first ballot, I think would have deserved every single voter to just quit.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with him being unanimous. It's just you have to kind of humorously look at it because, I mean, when you think about it, Babe Ruth's not a unanimous Hall of Famer. Neither's Ty Cobb, neither's Henry Aaron, neither's Willie Mays. You know, I mean, you can go down these lists of guys that are just the best players in the game. And the first guy to be the unanimous MVP is a reliever. So.
Well, you know, I think, you know, again, it comes down to the fact that it becomes personal, the voting.
Yeah.
As opposed to statistical.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's all it is. I mean, we all know Ty Cobb was, you know, I've read enough, even though I never saw him play, and I've heard enough about him to know, let's face it, he was a complete jerk and a racist. So, obviously that's been Babe Ruth, you know, Babe Ruth liked to drink, you know. I mean, that's been pretty much proven. So, there's probably ways, you know, that happened. I do wonder why guys like Aaron and Mays weren't unanimous because I don't know too many bad things about them, but maybe there was something. You know, Tom Seaver, another one of those guys, may have hung on a little too long. Maybe that hurt him. But, yeah, you just kind of, you know, why wasn't Griffey Jr. unanimous? You'll never, I don't think you can sell me on that one. Why the hell didn't he go in as a unanimous guy?
Yeah. Well, and sadly, I think with Mays and Aaron, you know, as baseball has been a little bit more in tune with, you know, breaking down the barriers of race, you might still have had those voters in there that simply didn't vote for him because of that. And
so you're saying it was the white man holding him down?
Exactly.
Oh.
Well, he still got in, but, you know.
Yeah, you know, obviously they belonged in. You know, I mean, a lot of people, consider Mays the greatest player of, you know, to ever play the game with, you know, his athletic ability and stuff. So.
Huh, maybe that's what I'll. Sorry, I have a frame that I haven't used, and I've got the happy 80th birthday, Willie Mays, from when we went to San Francisco. Maybe I'll frame that.
Oh, there you go. So, you know, that could work out for you. So, yeah, it's just kind of, you know, kind of humorous or, you know, interesting to just, you know, look out there and, you know, see those guys who are coming up, and, you know, it's kind of like, oh, okay. So, but yeah, you know, like I said, yeah, the only one I'm buying next year is Jeter. I guess on the plus side, you know, that helps guys like Bonds, Clemens, and Schilling, because, you know, there'll be votes out there for them, you know, from guys who probably aren't or haven't been voting for them. You know, maybe they reconsider.
Anything's possible.
So, you know, could
I don't know.
You
I
know,
think,
yeah, I'm still.
Unfortunately for Schilling, I think his political views, you know, hurt him, which shouldn't.
Yeah.
At
well,
all,
he
but.
Did. They were saying he had a really big uptick in votes. So they think that may actually help. You know, he's got some momentum now, and they think it may help him, you know, keep rolling this way, because this is kind of how Martinez went. You know, Edgar kind of started slowly building momentum, you know, and then it was kind of like, oh, okay, well, you know, it took all 10 years, but he's in. Schilling finished with 60.9%.
Oh, wow.
So,
what do you need?
You know, you need 75%. So he's 15, about a little less than 15% away.
Almost there.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, like Larry Walker was the other guy who gained a lot of votes this time. Obviously, I think Larry's going to run out of steam, though. He's only got one more year on the ballot, and he's at 54.6%. I don't think he's going to jump 20% in a year, even with Jeter being the only guy on the ballot, who I think will get in next year. So, I do think Konerko will get enough votes to stay on the ballot. I think you need 5% to stay on the ballot. I think he'll get that. But, yeah, other than that, I don't know how many of those guys will be hanging around on the ballot very long. You know, we lost – how many guys dropped off the ballot this year? 14, 15, 16 guys come off the ballot this year. I won't be surprised if that many come off next year. So, but, yeah, I heard a – I don't remember who it was, but I heard it must have been a former Astro – because he was complaining that Lance Berkman and Roy Oswalt didn't get enough votes to stay on the ballot. And I'm like, you know, come on, they were both really nice players, but you can't tell me either one's a Hall of Famer. So,
well, Oswalt had the no-hitter.
Yeah, so do a lot of guys who don't make the ballot, and, you know, who don't stay on the ballot. But, you know, I mean, Manny's still hanging around. He got 22.8% of the vote, but you damn well know he's never getting in.
No.
You know,
do you think part of it,
the same life they talk about Bonds and Clemens, huh?
No, I mean, do you think part of Manny's problem, though, was he just kept hanging on and leading? You remember in Tampa, completely let them on and then didn't end up playing there?
Yeah, well, you know, you do wonder because, you know, he was always liked by the media. You know, that was the one thing about Manny is the media always loved him. You know, he was Manny being Manny. But, it's weird.
After the stint with the White Sox and the Dodgers, it seemed like he just kept hanging around and getting those suspensions and hanging around and getting the suspension. And I think it was one of those where every year everyone's like, Manny, just pack it in. And he's like, no, I can't.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I don't understand about this, Dan, is, you know, Bonds and Clemens are getting all this love. Why doesn't Sammy get it? You know, he's the only – now, you know, Sammy, again, just like them, Sammy's never been proven to use. And he doesn't have the smoking guns that, like, Bonds and Clemens have against them. And he's the only guy in history with, is it 460 home run seasons or something like that? But yet he's hanging around here.
He hasn't entered baseball.
Why do they seem to be exempt to what Sammy is? So, I don't understand that, why, all of a sudden everybody's on the Barry Roger bandwagon, but we leave Sammy hanging out there when, it's widely credited that him and Mark McGwire saved baseball. Oh, did Dan go take his break, or did he mute himself? Oh, I don't know. I'll have to figure out what happened to Dan. So, but yeah, that's always been strange to me, because, Sammy was a solid defender too. I mean, he was a better defender than Bonds. And he had a fantastic arm. One of the better right field arms out there, especially in his day. He could really throw. So yeah, it's kind of confusing. I get that Barry has better career numbers, and I don't have a problem with Bonds getting more votes than Sammy. It's just the fact that, he got 215 more than Sammy got. And again, I mean, there's a big smoking gun over Bonds' head with, Greg Anderson, who went to jail rather than tell a judge what Barry Bonds used. He wouldn't implicate Bonds in any type of steroid situation, and literally, was found in contempt and went to jail. So, I mean, I hope Bonds compensated the guy for that, because, he gave up, a good bit of his life to protect, try to help protect Barry's legacy. But, why is there such a gigantic difference between, two guys who we damn well know use something, and a guy who, while we think he used something, doesn't quite have that big-time smoking gun against him? And I'm just not understanding that. So, and nobody ever pushes for Sammy. You don't hear his name mentioned. I heard a lot of talk about Bonds and Clemens these last couple days, but nothing about Sammy. I heard a guy preaching for Andrew Jones because he's the best center fielder to ever play the game, according to this guy. And, okay, great.
DeAndre?
There you go. So explain my Sammy situation to me, Dan.
The rickets. It's collusion.
Holding him down on the ballot?
No, he's the one guy of those that were implicated that hasn't made any way back to baseball. And sadly, he's, been, while Bob got most of the attention, I feel like he's the one who's taken all the heat for it. And even when you go back, and you look at Sammy in the day, his heyday, when, him and McGwire were doing whatever they were doing, and like you said, post-strike days from, what was that, 94 up until, 98 when they were just killing it, 99, no one was watching baseball. So they pretty much saved it. And while I get it, journalists were investigating and they figured out how, you still can't tell me that, Selig and the office and the league weren't just turning a blind eye to everything.
Oh,
and sadly
were.
For Sammy, though, he's the only one who hasn't made any steps back into baseball. McGwire, when he worked for the Dodgers and the Marlins, and the Bonds. Barry Bonds has done some stuff. You remember Roger Clemens tried to make a comeback at, 50.
Yeah.
And, sadly, Palmeiro's never going to, I think he's going to be, like Pete Rose, but, Sammy seems to take the brunt of all of it.
Well, you know, I did read that Palmeiro is going to play independent league again, or he's going to try
Good for him.
So now, do you think if, you know, if Sammy can, you know, rekindle his relationship with the Cubs or, you know, smooth things over with the Cubs, do you think that would help his candidacy?
I think so, but it seems to me like, number one, you know, he didn't play for the Red Sox, so he doesn't have an in with Theo. And
yeah.
Tom Ricketts seems to want nothing to do with him at all. And sadly, I think for Sammy, though, with there was a big, not big time interview, but a big interview with him because he hasn't really talked about baseball. And, you know, he just looks like he's completely broken from the game.
So it's just, you know, that was just one of those things that was just so weird to me.
So, I don't think he's ever going to make his way back into baseball, sadly.
Oh, that's too bad. I would like to, you know, at least bend fences so they can have Sammy Sosa Day or whatever the hell you want to call it. And,
I could be wrong. I don't remember, but I know once the Ricketts took over, I believe the banners of Sammy that were in the concourse were taken down. I could be wrong on that one. I sat in the bleachers for several years, so.
Yeah, you know, I guess that wouldn't surprise me. You just wonder.
Yeah,
like I said, just one of those weird
stuff. The one thing that Tom Ricketts just keeps coming out and saying is that he needs to apologize, and I don't know what he needs to apologize for.
What are they still going to hold that against him when he left early that one day? What was it, the last game of the year or whatever?
Oh, there's that drama, but I think honestly everyone's forgotten about that. And I mean, that whole the end of that season was just an entire, it ended bad for everybody. You know, wasn't that the year Steve Stone and Chip Carey got fired too?
I think so.
You know, and again, that's one of those things that, you know, when did Tom Ricketts become the owner again? Oh, yeah, not during that time period. So what does that really have to do with him? I think if you brought Sammy Sosa out, I don't think he would get booed. I think he would have a big applause if he came in saying the seventh inning stretch.
I can't see them booing Sammy.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I told you, next game I go to, I'm wearing my Sosa jersey.
You'll have to tell me, we'll have to see how that goes, see if anybody says anything to you. So,
yeah, or if I go. They price me out.
Yes. You'll end up going. So, you know, I know you will. So you'll find a way to get there at least one time.
No, it's actually been since the World Series. I haven't gone since 16.
You didn't go last year?
Nope.
Oh. Did you go to a White Sox game instead?
Yeah, I went to like three.
you just
walk in there. You just show up.
Yeah, they just let you in. So I did find the weirdest thing, and I know this is really local and it just kind of pertains to you and I, but you know, it was weird because at my work, the only stations I can get in on the radio are AM. So I listen to WGN overnight in my office, and the commercial came on, pumping up, you know, get ready, you know, baseball's back, and they're this whole thing about going on, and they're like, it's Sox Fest, and I'm just still not used to the Sox being on WGN after all the years the Cubs were over there. So it just completely threw me off.
Yeah, well, you know, and I know you mentioned that there could have been a change in management and all that, but, you know, it just was so ridiculous to me that when they were losing the Cubs or getting out of that contract, you know, they were, oh, you know, the ratings are down, no one's really listening, and we need to move on from baseball and the Cubs and blah, blah, blah. And then a year later, they go and sign a deal with the White Sox.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think they learned quickly that it wasn't baseball that was the ratings problem. So.
Yeah. Well, no, and I think that was just part of their cover-up that the Ricketts wanted to get out from underneath that.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of a dying thing, I guess, with them. I don't know. I mean, but I try to listen to GM. It's, you know, once Kaplan left and the Cubs were gone and they tried filling in all these other roles, it just, you know, they also tried to do the rehashing of, you know, old, not, I don't want to say old, but, you know, formats that worked 25 years ago and they just don't work today. The station's very hard to listen to today.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't listen to it too much. I do listen to the sports. You know, they do have the Blackhawks, who, while they're not good this year, they, you know, they've been good. So it's not like, you know, that's a horrible thing to do. And you know, I'll listen to the White Sox when you know, that's what I have. You know, just one of those things. You know, and they also carry college. You know, they carry Northwestern. So. The best thing still is after Bears games, especially when they play poorly, you tune into the post-game show because it's Ed Obradovich and Dan Hampton. And when you talk about two guys who tell it like it is, these guys tell it like it is. I mean, they don't mince words. A lot of times it's borderline where you really think they're just going to start cussing. And they let you know if the team stinks, they're going to tell you they stunk. So it's always an interesting listen. It just happens to be better when the team is bad. So
poor Jay Cutler.
Yeah. You know, just one of those things. Because, well, you know, originally it was Doug Buffon and Dan Hampton, or Doug Buffon and Ed Obradovich, and they were on the score. And then when Buffon passed away, they didn't renew the show. And GN stepped in and brought it over and plugged him in with Hampton, who's always been very opinionated. And, yeah, Obradovich is that old man who just doesn't care. You know, I think we all have relatives like that. So, you know, it's just that's how it works out. And, yeah, it makes for great radio. It really does. So I don't know if, you know, if they're like that in other areas, but there should be.
What I find interesting about the score now is they, you know, definitely play to their audience or to their teams that they promote. You know, the Bears, of course,
yeah.
And then the Cubs now. But, you know, you mentioned they got rid of, you know, just didn't pick up the Hampton show. And they have Patrick Manley now, who's very much a Bear and doesn't, you know, instead of pointing out what's wrong, they'll point out why it happened that way. You know what I mean? So it's hard to, well, I think he's a great analysis on it, but sometimes when it's, you're not really speaking the truth, you know, it's hard. But I think he still has too many ties with the players that are there now.
Yeah, well, you know, like the funny thing with like Hampton and even Buffon and Obradovich is they were still beloved by the team and the fans, even though, you know, they went out there and said, "Hey, you suck."
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that's what I am interested. You know, yeah, you know, I am interested to see is, you know, now that I can kind of surf around with, you know, Alexa here. You know, I'm wondering how some of those other outlets are and if, you know, I can find some post-game shows. Oh, sorry, I said her name and it went off. You know, if, you know, some of those other post-game shows are like that. So, yeah, I'm going to have to do some Alexa surfing and see what comes up. you know, that's just kind of, it should be, hopefully it'll be interesting. You know, hopefully I can find some decent stuff. So. You know, but we'll have to see, right?
Oh yeah, maybe get some Seattle post games.
Yeah, I'll have to have to take a look and see who I can find out there. I'll have to look at the radio stations and see if they're available and find out who's who and all that stuff. So because I know I get Kansas City. I listened to some of that during the playoffs to see if they were talking, but I must have had the wrong station because it didn't have an actual post game show. So
with Marty Schottenheimer?
Yeah, with anybody. Len Dawson, somebody like that. Ed Podolak, just, some Kansas City guy would be fantastic. Honestly, I don't even know if any of those guys are alive, but I'm just taking a shot there because I knew the names. So but yeah, I don't know if you're at this point, Dan, maybe you are, but I'm kind of stuck now because it's not quite baseball season. And I've said it a million times here. I don't enjoy the NBA and, hockey's not always on. I'm having a tough time finding stuff to watch. So, are you running into this issue? I just can't find a sport to watch.
Well, yeah, that's the hard part. Is there no curling on?
No, I haven't ran into that. It was the biathlon yesterday is what they had on. And, I know the Australian Open is going on, but I'm not a gigantic tennis guy either. I do watch a little of, like, when Serena plays, I'll watch a little of the match. And I even will watch a little bit of Duke in college basketball because, those guys have been really exciting this year. I don't know if you saw this, but Jay-Z went to their game in Pittsburgh last night. And I guess he had a meeting with Zion Williamson, who's one of the top guys on Duke. Is that tampering, Dan?
I would think so.
So
as long as he didn't buy him anything.
Because I was wondering, because obviously Jay-Z still has his, still has Roc Nation. So, you just kind of wonder if it was like, hey, did he tamper with trying to get this guy?
Was he there with Adidas execs?
I don't know who he was. I don't know who he was sitting with. No surprise he ended up in the front row. So... But yeah, I just I was kind of like, is this right? Would we should be allowed to? But I mean, I guess he's Jay-Z. He can do whatever he wants, right?
Pretty much.
So we'll see. But yeah, I gotta well, it's Wednesday night, so there should be a hockey game on, right? Isn't it Hockey Night in America?
I thought it was All-Star Week. So I don't know if they're off.
I think they still play. I think tonight might be the last night. Yeah, it is because I did FanDuel lineup for. So they're.
Yeah, actually, the Capitals are on right in 2 minutes.
Oh, cool. That means Dan and I are going to take off. We'll be back tomorrow, which will actually be the Thursday. Radio.com. Check out the blog we went up this morning. Link over to the Facebook page and give that a like. And don't forget the Twitter page. Get all that support from radio. Keep on doing that for you. As always, good folks for coming to the listen live. It's great when you do that. But remember, podcast is available for you to listen to anytime you want.